What's up, guys? This is Bryce Kenny, and I'm so thrilled that you joined us for the first ever weekly tune-ups here on Gears and Nachos, and I'm excited about this journey. I cannot wait to see what people gain from it and what the kind of mental clicks and those gear shifts. You'll hear that a lot, what you get from that and the gear shifts that you guys each make. But just know that this is an attempt to say, look, let's put a different lens on our lives as drivers and what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish. You're still going to laugh your face off because of you're going to get behind the scenes content on what we're doing on a weekly basis. But also we want to give you guys something more valuable. We want to give you a thought, something that's going to help, because we believe that every single one of you can go out there and live a life you've always dreamed of, that life doesn't have to suck. That's what I want this podcast to become, right? That kind of that guide for people to make life not suck anymore. And that's what it's going to be. So this first episode, I'm pumped about it because it's something that's very important to me. And I think that everything hinges on this, I'll call it a concept, but we all have that kind of little voice inside of our heads, right? That tends to focus more on our flaws rather than our full potential. And if I have a passion in life, it's to help people understand how to shift perspectives from kind of dwelling on their weaknesses to making that shift to envisioning their best self instead. And that's what this is really going to be, because I'll share some of my own journey of kind of learning these mental gear shifts as a driver, but also as an entrepreneur and as a father. But this is what I really mean. It was interesting because I share this story in my book, Geared for Life. But years back, I was in a race rig with my grandfather, and this is when we were on the IHRA series and competing in Top Fuel. And I spent more time on the road with him, and a lot of the crew guys would fly in and stuff, and I was on the rig. I loved it. I loved burning up the miles. I couldn't do it anymore. Hats off to every independent team out there that stays on the road. I lived that life for 10 years in Top Fuel, and that was enough for me. Also, I was not married and did not have a family at the time. But we had a lot of moments where I would, you know, just be talking to my grandfather and listening to his stories from life and gathering so much wisdom from him. And then there were also times when we were just quiet. You know, I call it the good kind of silence, where you don't feel like you have to talk. And we were in some kind of Western state, like the Dakotas or something like that. And we were passing this field, and it was a farm. I guess maybe it was like Indiana or something. I guess I don't know if there's farms in the Dakotas. Anyway, I digress. But we were passing this farm, and there was this guy out in the field, and he was just standing there. He wasn't doing anything. And my grandfather looked at him, and he was kind of taking this moment to give me this life lesson. And he said, "Bryce, look, you see that guy out there in the field? Like, he's not doing a thing, you know, and he's just standing around, and where he could be working, he's waiting. You know, where he could be putting his hand to the plow, so to speak. He's waiting on someone to tell him what to do. Like, if you're going to make it in life, you got to show up ready to do your part, ready to go to work, and really go out there and, you know, plant your seeds, right? And all this great wisdom." And so he finally stopped talking. And I looked back at my grandfather, because he kind of looked at me like, "Aren't you going to say anything? You know, I mean, that was good stuff I just gave you," sort of thing, right? That sort of look. And I kind of paused because I didn't want to burst his bubble. And I said, "Grandpa, that was a scarecrow." And like, he kind of gave me that side glance out of his eyes. And he goes, and he just kind of pauses for half a second. And then he just, "Are you kidding me?" And then we both just bust out laughing. And that's such a good memory that I have of him, because in that moment he was like, "Oh man, maybe I shouldn't have taken myself so seriously." But I have felt like that scarecrow more times in my life than I have anything else, where I feel like I'm not really doing anything. I'm just standing around. Maybe I'm scaring off, you know, birds from eating crops, so to speak, but I really felt like I was scaring off life's dots from connecting to one another, right? I felt like maybe I'm the problem. I can't figure any of this life stuff out. I can't figure out how to go chase a dream. Like, maybe all this stuff is just kind of silly and stupid, and maybe I shouldn't go and pursue anything. Maybe I'm not good enough to go do it. Maybe I'm not smart enough to make this stuff happen. And I really felt like the scarecrow. And I want to encourage everybody that if you're going to go out there in life, you're going to go make something of you, that perspective shift, you've got to realize that you're not a scarecrow. And you also have to be able to see yourself in the best version of yourself instead of the worst. And here's what I mean by that. So all of us, if you're a car guy, car girl, you've envisioned this moment where like you're on a back road somewhere and you're going through the mountains or something like that, right? And you're driving and you kind of look up at a barn and you see a barn and you see headlights sticking out of the barn and there's a tarp over the car, but you think like, oh man, I think that's an old Chevy, right? Old Camaro or something. And you drive up to the barn, like you've got the guts to get out and you realize the guy that owns the property, he's actually around the barn. He's this old man and he comes around the corner and he's not frustrated that you stopped by, but and you just told him, you're like, hey, I saw the car in the barn. I just have to ask what it is. And so on and so forth. And then he goes, yeah, sure. I'll show it to you. You know, he walks over and he rips the tarp off of it. And there it is, right? 69 Camaro. It's got everything you've wanted. The exact engine you've always dreamed of. This thing though, the tires are flat, it's covered in dirt. And he tells you, he said, look, I haven't had this thing running in 15 years, 20 years. Right. And you look at him, you're hearing all these stories and he tells you about, how he's owned it for the majority of his life. And he took his wife on dates 40 years ago when McDonald's just came to town. I mean, all these great stories. And then you finally look at him and you're like, man, would you ever consider selling this? And there it is. There's the dream. He goes, you know what? I think I would. Right. And for whatever reason, he sells it to you for $8,000. Now, here's the whole point of that story though. And I call, we all dream of those barn find opportunities. But barn find opportunities, it's hilarious because I could look at that old Camaro covered in dirt, not running, that the tires are flat and it's been sitting there in that barn where the tarp is actually even, caused maybe one fender had been hiding out in the sun. So it's a little bit discolored from the rest of the car. I don't see any of that though. As a car lover, car guy, I love old muscle cars and hot rods, and I wouldn't see any of the dirt. All I would see is the full potential it's got. I would see that car as its best version. I could hear the tires screeching out of that 396, right, motor. I could hear the burnouts. I could hear, I could see that just crystal clear grabber orange paint job. And knowing that there's not an inch and an ounce of orange peel up on that rooftop after the fresh new paint job and getting the interior and all the upholstery right, I could see that car as its best version, right? I don't even see all the bad stuff. And my question is why couldn't we do that for something as silly and as rustable as a car, but we can't do that with ourselves? Most of the time when we look in the mirror, we see ourselves as what we're not, in a bad way. We're like, oh man, I wish I was better at this. I'm not smart I'm not patient I'm not skilled enough to go and do this. My question to you is, when was the last time you actually looked in the mirror and said, what is the best version of myself, and actually saw the good stuff in you? Because I think that the curse of imposter syndrome, because that's what we're really battling. Like, are we what we think we are? Or are we good enough? Do I have what it takes? You may have never really actually asked yourself that question consciously, but subconsciously, you're asking yourself that all the time. And I have, right? So many times I ask myself that still daily, like, do I have what it takes to pull this off? And sometimes we answer that with no, but what we need to do is quiet that little voice that's inside our minds a little bit and battle against that imposter syndrome, because getting clear on our unique strengths and our talents that we bring to the table, that's where we all of a sudden get a lot of clarity and belief and confidence that we can go and actually accomplish what we're going to do. But what I really want to challenge everybody to do is ask this one question of themselves. Who am I today, and who do I want to be a year from now? Better yet, how would you describe yourself right now today? Or maybe how would people describe you today, other people describe you? And then how do you want to be able to be described 1 year from now, right? You can take this a step further, a little bonus, if you want to go through it and go like, how do I want people to talk about me at my funeral? How would I want people to describe me one day when I'm gone? That stuff's bonus, but that's heavy stuff. Just start with, how do I think people would describe me today? How do I want them to describe me a year from now? Do I want to be described as a great driver in Monster Jam, or is my priority to be a phenomenal father? How would my family, how would my kids describe me as a dad today? Would they say that I put my phone down anytime they ask and go out and play football with my son? Would they know that they're that I'm most important, or that they're most important to me more than anything, that they're my priority? And if the answer to that is maybe, then maybe 1 year from today, right, I want to be someone who is a phenomenal father. I want to be someone who is not distracted by his phone or social media, who always makes my kids feel like they're the most important thing in my life. What about as a husband? You know, how would my wife describe me today as a husband, and how do I want her to be able to describe me a year from now? And yes, professionally, how would people describe me today as a driver, and how would I want people to be able to describe me a year from now, right? And you can do that for your own profession. But being able to answer those questions and ask those questions, I know it's not easy, but I'm telling you, you've got what it takes to do that, all right? And so as we check in with some of these other tours and bring in some of these other guys, and I want you to hear their perspective on that, because everything changes at the start of a season. You know, here it is, it's in January. The other tour, they've already started. They did San Francisco, our tour, we've got San Antonio coming up this weekend. And I'm excited about getting back going. But this is, I see all the best potential. I see the best version of 2024 in the season for myself. Every driver goes into it with a clean slate. And the hope and the belief and the confidence in our abilities as individuals, it's sky high. You know, it's not until the failures start to kind of creep in a season to where you start to say, oh man, maybe this isn't our year. Or, oh man, I can't believe I haven't gotten freestyle figured out. Or, oh man, I'm not fast enough in racing. Whatever a driver kind of battles mentally. Oh man, I can't stand skills. You know, I started loving skills, and that's why I got better at skills. I used to hate skills. That's why I just sucked at skills so bad. But as we go through those failures, like, that's the trick. You know, if I had anything, if I wanted to be described as something, personally, it's that I'm someone who embraces failures, and I take failure as feedback, not indictments. I don't take failures as ultimate. I don't take failures as that I'm a failure. I take failure as feedback, and I get that lesson, right? It's that whole thing is like, you know, when people say sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That's not it. Like, that's a good perspective, but the right mental shift, the right gear shift of finding your full potential. I talk about this a lot in Geared for Life. That's what the book is really all about. But the right mental shift and perspective shift is sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. That's the difference between success and failure. That's the difference between someone who gets it, keeps pressing on, because they take that quote unquote failure, not as a loss, but as feedback. They get the lesson from it. They move on. They apply it to the next opportunity. And that's what I want for each and every single one of you. I get it. I've been there. Your head hits the pillow at night and you're saying to yourself, is this really it? Is this all there is to life? I just thought there'd be better things ahead of me. I thought I'd be further along. I've said those things. And what I've come to realize is that life is not about having all the solutions and all of the answers. It's about finding the right gear and going as hard as you can at your dreams and your goals until you see them happen. I wrote my book, Geared for Life, Making the Shift into Your Full Potential, for you. For anyone out there that's saying, look, I'm tired of life sucking. I don't want life to suck anymore. If you're in that boat, or maybe you're tired, you're exhausted, you just cannot seem to get unstuck, pick up a copy of Geared for Life. You won't regret it. And let's go help you shift into your full potential.
Hello.
Adam Anderson, driver of Gravedigger. Is that you?
What up? Bryce Kenny, driver of the Mohawk Warrior.
I cannot believe that I got to call you now for our podcast, because in first time in 7 years, 8 years, I mean, we're 7 years straight on the same tour together. And I know that you're not sad about that, because you needed a break from me, because as you put it, I'm a lot. But I'm a little sad.
No, it's, you know, the realization has come, because first off, I was already jealous. I'm already gone, and I've got one event under my belt, and you're still at home. Didn't even know, didn't even care. You know, I'm out here just, you know, living my life, and you're like, what? You guys are at it. I'm like, yeah, we're gone. We're already out here, buddy.
Gosh, man. Well, and I got a very special friend. I think he's making his debut on Gears and Nachos, haven't you? Or you've never been on the podcast before?
No, this is my first time.
Mr. Tyler Menninga. And I think I pronounced it correctly.
You did.
Meninga.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, which is a miracle.
I usually don't even, like, listen to people say my last name. So I had to go back and think about how you just said that to make sure you said it right.
Does it bother you when you say Meninga? I mean, it should be Meninga. I don't understand. But does it bother you when people say Meninga?
No.
Meninga. So if you guys want a little bonus point with Tyler coming through Pit Party, just get his name right.
That's right.
Everybody attempt to say it that season. That'd be great.
You guys go ahead, say my last name right, comes to the Pit Party line, and then I'll score you a 10 at judgeszone.com.
Oh, man. 1 point reduced for lack of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Man, well, I know that you guys are pumped about the season. I'll be honest. Has there been just out there, out west? You're right. I had no idea you guys were even about to start your season. So when I called – When I called you and you're sitting in the parking lot in San Francisco about to go to Alcatraz, right?
That's right.
Well, how was it? You never called me because, you know, I guess we're not friends anymore. So not
I didn't call anybody. Well, you know, when Ryan's sitting here with me too. Ryan's out here. He's chilling right now with me. Colt's going to be here in a little bit. But I did go to Alcatraz. Bryce and I have been trying to plan that trip for a couple times that we were out here. And never did it. Never made it. Tickets were sold out, whatever. And so I finally got my tickets and stuff like an adult. I even got those late, like a child still, but we, I did, you know, and I went out there and, it was pretty cool. It was actually really neat. It's one of those things that it's like, you got to do it to say you did it. There's a lot of construction stuff going on out there right now. I don't know if it's obviously not a downtime because every ferry was full of people heading out to the island, but we did like the first night tour. So it was kind of eerie looking at some of the stuff. And then also I was thought to myself, like, man, this is not too bad actually. Maybe I could do this.
But you went through the jail though, right?
Oh yeah. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. I kind of agree.
You know,
a lot of people are like, they're freaked out by
it. It's just like you're
the solitaire or whatever.
Not to say
that
you're comfortable with three in the hole there,
but you kind of them not only off the track,
you know?
On the track, which I've known everybody for years.
The story of a guy, there's
like,
one guy that's
a different story. You know, I'm
out
here watching
there,
you know, some of these
weeks
guys
in,
goes
he would
pass weekend.
If he said he had a penny
and
or something,
like, all right, they're lighting it up.
He had
pretty
daggone
flick
good,
it.
So
he would flick it,
and then he would
through.
Search for it.
That was what he did.
Kind of take it easy, but guess not.
He was just
happening because it's completely dark in there, nothing in there. In the hole, man. It was crazy. And then the hospital, it opened up only at night, which is kind of eerie. But it was kind of creepy.
I know they did.
You're damn
right. You had them catching on fire doing
I already have a prison pole that I just had to do. That's the first thing I thought of, too.
All I'm thinking
about there, I was looking at stuff.
I got to do this
thing. I wonder if it was
showing
one of those
relevant.
And I did. That's kind of how my deal is. I'm like, I'm coming back, and I'm just.
It's like, you know,
this is
toilet
19 years of driving for
like
me
on
now.
On top of it, where you normally it's like all the apparatus of the toilet.
Well, every time I get ready to start, the past couple years, I've just felt like, all right,
I'm
going to
be like,
I'm going to do the extra passes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that
unit.
And then as soon as I get back in,
but I realize that I have to build
this apparatus to operate it. That I'd have to build
driving it no more.
And I've
when
got
I do drive
ideas,
it,
I'm going to let her rip. So
that's not your shop toilet.
You know, I'm going to make it work.
I was
going to
use it,
you know,
that.
Make it worth
I was going
to
use that.
The only thing, there's no rim.
You know,
on
and then also,
which is weird,
myself,
you know, there's no
I'm,
rim.
My kind of, my goal is, I do, I
can put the
bidet
championship. Man, that's what you can transfer the bidet over to.
At the end of the night, they're going
to
customize some fabricate.
That's what I want
for that.
That's what I
want
to hear. So, you know, but even, you know, you look at all the social media stuff.
You and Ryan are both sitting there, too. I mean, speaking of the shop, what's the update on the Arctic?
They still got me crashing and catching on fire.
Man, I mean, she's a runner,
right now,
dude.
Yeah.
The Arctic Cat is a runner.
Like daily,
doing that.
Honestly,
yeah,
I
use it around the yard. Really? I mean, it needs some carb tuning on it still. I've been back and forth with it. But, I mean, I did jump it one day for the kids.
None whatsoever, dude.
And you know what's so messed up is,
like,
of course,
me leaving home,
like,
I
knocked
the
teeth out of my head.
I'm still sore and hurt, landed in a shock state.
And I'm like, oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so now you guys are, man, I can't wait for you.
As soon as I was in there, I did not care if it wrapped my legs around the back of my head in that moment. You know,
getting rid of all your Hondas.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We did just post that episode the other day from the Anderson compound. So now people actually if they don't have a clue what we're joking about, they need to go back to that Anderson episode. Tyler's looking at me like I'm cross-eyed. So, Ryan, Tyler's sitting here too, by the way, since you just joined
us. Yeah, I know. What a rook he is. I know.
Any other drivers, any other drivers that maybe listen to this, I want you to just sit in your truck and you try to put your pant leg over the push.
I was freaking busy.
Next time you're in the truck, be in the position it takes to get to that.
Unlike you guys, I was doing media.
Morning. No, he answered me. That's why I didn't answer. Is because it was difficult. It was today, trying to figure out. Like,
yeah, you got one of those 360 deals. Like,
they're pretty sweet. But yeah, I'm a little disabled on learning how to use it.
All right, that was fine.
It was pretty insane, Jake. I'm not gonna lie. No. I thought you were better than that, but I guess that corn and Iowa just don't have the tech savvy.
San Diego.
Yeah, no, we don't.
He was annoying me. I don't even know why.
That's about the closest we'll be all year.
Figure out in the locker room.
Listen, I'm already on strike one from Bryce this year.
We've been joking too. I'm like, that's strike one, Tyler. Like, just like three strikes and we're out.
Yeah, I'm not gonna promise. No more hanging. Tell you that.
That's last night. We get here for six. We get here in San Antonio, right?
I'm going to risk breaking off every one of my toenails.
He sends me this message.
Yeah, go ahead. If y'all get a viral moment in San Antonio, you're definitely going to have chassis damage from the concrete.
Yeah. And he's like, dude, we're doing this. We're in San Antonio. I'm like, all right, that's fine. But it's
I'm sure it ain't bad. Go ahead, flip upside down, feel it one time, dude.
All that stuff. And he ends up.
Well, hold on. I landed, and I have been saving myself all day. No,
camera out the window, take a brand new one.
And Bryce is like, yeah, I land at 5 o'clock.
You got to.
All right. 6 o'clock rolls around. I haven't heard anything from
Bryce.
Same
to you guys. Good luck. Have some fun. Tell everybody you said hello, and we're not going to do anything for you.
Me and Ryan Riddell decide that we are going to just go ahead and not wait for anybody because we are starving.
He's not.
He's not healing. Go ahead and do it. As I said, I was like, hey, man, well, why don't you look that place up? Let's go do it tonight since we'll have stuff going on.
All right, boys.
My idea.
We're out.
So then by the time I land... Then I texted him. I was like, hey, I just landed, man. I'm sorry. I was super delayed. And he's like, oh, we just came or we're on our way to it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so I was like, so by the time I got off the plane and all that stuff, I call him. He's like, oh, man, it's good. It's nice here, though. You know, come on. You come on by and stuff. And I just told him, I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Well, then finally I did end up going, and I just told him that I looked at him because by the time I got there, so this taco truck's got these massive burritos, and it's like – like ribs and
whole beef. It's got a whole beef rib in the burrito.
Yeah.
With the bone in it still.
Like, so then I walk up to the taco truck, fine, because I did end up going. You know, I succumbed to his peer pressure. And so I go, this burrito was $45.
Good Lord.
$45.
That's a whole weekend's worth of per diem there.
Man. And so, so what am I going to do? I'm going to go out, do all that stuff, and not get the Stonerito, as it's called.
Oh, man.
No, I'm going to order it. I paid $48 after tax, no tip, because I was mad at
you, Brock. I know you hated that. I know you.
It was terrible.
You're a tightwad, dude. Bryce is such a tightwad.
I can be.
About certain things.
I can be. About certain stuff like things. That. So I ordered, finally get back to the table. I just look at him. I'm like, this whole thing is strike one for you, Tyler.
I can see it all.
Bryce rated it a 6.5 or 6 out of 10. Yeah. It's probably the best I ever had.
You will learn quickly. Everything Tyler does, he thinks is the best he's ever had. Like, there was at least 30 best he ever had last year.
Well, he turned the guys and a couple of hours after this debacle, he turned the rest of the guys onto onion rings, right? Two hours after this whole
made
thing,
everybody go spend $30 on onion rings.
How much were they?
We didn't get it. I was talking about onion rings that are in Iowa.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, we don't need to dip into that, but
yeah, speaking of dipping, I'm already annoyed at his dip bottles. Also,
Oh my god,
the worst in history.
That's like it's like worse than hanging out with a freaking llama.
A llama. Oh, because it's
spitting. Yeah.
Yeah, Tig is basically a llama for sure.
I've been having.
That's how he looks at pit party too. You look over at him, looks like a llama standing there talking to people.
I've been basically having the same scenarios with Colt. Speaking of Colt, Colt just walked out here and. Last week, you know, we were getting ready to do something. We're going to eat at the building or something. And, like, I go out. Like, I'm the last one to get out of doing whatever we were doing. I had to talk to people. And I'm like, all right, listen, I'm going to eat some lunch. This is on Friday after practice. And I'm like, cool. And Colt just tells me, nah, man, there's nothing left. Don't even go in there. And I'm like, what? And he was like kind of saying it a little semi-disgruntled. And I'm like, really? And I go in there and I'm like, there was still a lot of food. And I'm like, what the heck, dude? And I'm kind of looking at it. And I'm like, it didn't really look that bad. And this is catering. And I'm like, dang, man. He's like, no, let's just go somewhere. I'm like, oh, gosh, fine, dude, whatever. And come find out everybody else already ate. He just knew that I would not go out with them if I ate that. So he ruined my life for the rest. You can just imagine how the rest of my evening went after that.
I can hear him laughing in the background. For those of you who do not know,
so he's been messing me up like that every day now, but he'll joke around and say,
I don't even know what that means, but I agree.
Maniacal, like, like, I don't want to say evil. It's not evil, but maniacal.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
But it's my favorite. It's like a giggle.
It's the best laugh because it's one of those when he starts going, you can't stop laughing at him laughing.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, what was so last weekend, San Francisco, Adam, you just about, you know, melted your face off. How was first of all, wasn't your truck, I mean, it was in pristine condition before that happened, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah, guys, really just, I mean, everything's polished, you know, brand new coated headers and really clean, nice. Lex stands really nice and clean, and basically don't have any of that anymore. So,
golly.
Yeah, it was well, it was intense for sure. But I do want to kind of stand up.
You hopped out of that truck pretty. You hopped out pretty quick, though. I mean, you knew. I'm guessing that fire bumped up right into.
Oh yeah, it was bed. Hot. It was hot. But I do want to kind of the tech guys. They were Barry. I didn't even know Barry had rolled, so they were all the way on the other side of the track. Yeah. And they kind of fumbled up, but I think also that between, because Ryan and Colt were yelling at me. They were like the first ones yelling at me to get out of it. They were like kind of right there by their trucks and stuff or getting out of their trucks. And then, you know, then of course, then it's the three of us, me, Ryan, and Colt yelling at all these young tech guys, like at the top of our lungs, like we're barbarians. So, you know, they're just, they're pissing their pants as we're yelling at them to do whatever we tell them to do. So, and then the rest of them came up, and then, you know, once they got it contained, but it was pretty wild, man. It was the worst fire that I've personally had. And we were very, like, Geo, it was the back there, and there's a bunch of other guys were in, even Jeff Sin was there. He was helping out with some stuff. Yeah. The rest of the crew, they, you know, peeling stuff back, finding what was, you know, burn up, and you know, you'd think you'd have it 1 second and then you'd chase it even farther, and then we replaced everything. I stayed out this week in between, and because I had a display and stuff, and I helped him out, and I'm like, I cannot believe the truck ran, honestly. Like, I don't have luck like that normally, and there was stuff on it that it should not have been able to run, really. Like, it shouldn't have been able to fire up and go, but they made it go.
Well, we probably won't. I won't ask you why it happened, because I'm sure if anyone from Monster Jam listened to this, then they wouldn't like that we talked about it. But one of the things that you know, I think that you've always had just a really interesting way is, like, you see that truck, even when it's all like singed and melted. I feel like you've got a really unique way to, like, see the truck as perfect and then, like, always grinding towards getting it back to 100%. If that makes any sense. Like, I don't think you, even after that fire happened and got back to the pits, that you're looking at it, and obviously you see the damage, but I would look at it and look like I wouldn't even hardly even know where to start. Whereas I feel like because you guys have been around this so long, you'd be like, oh yeah, here's how we're going to get this thing back to looking like it never even happened. To your point. But I think that's really what this episode's all about. It's about, you know, seeing the best version of stuff instead of the worst version. So with you guys starting off the season, I mean, Ryan, you kind of came into this, I'm sure, with some ideas and stuff like that, and the weekend didn't seem like it went your way. It wasn't the Ryan Anderson show. It sounds like it was the Barry Moussauer show. Was it frustrating because you came in with that, like, you saw the season, everyone's at the same level, it's a clean sheet, clean, you know, all that stuff. Everyone's starting at zero. And so it's everyone believes a little bit more, I think. I think you start the season off, you believe, like, man, this is it. Everyone's at a level playing field. Everyone's at zero. This is my shot. Were you frustrated that it just didn't go your way, even though you saw it at the best version?
normally I'm way more uptight about the first show and like get, literally every time I've done a point series, the first show has sucked for me. So like this year was the first time that I didn't care. Like I wasn't worried about it because I was just counting on it to suck. But it really didn't suck that bad. I just, so racing, Adam took me out in like semifinals first night. I won it second night. So not mad about that. Two wheel is where I shot myself in my own foot. So I'm trying to do something different other than two bicycles every time just because that's all I've ever done. Yeah. So but so I've been doing like the maximum moonwalk or the tombstone off of the backflip ramp. Well, the first night, it was wet. So I tried for a bicycle anyway, and it slid out. I looked like an idiot, super embarrassed of myself. And then I go to do the maximum moonwalk thing off the backflip ramp. And the first one, it pops up, just doesn't quite get it enough. It backs right back up, sets right back on it again. I drop it down again. And then I got it. It was great. But the race director counted that as two hits, which I can't deny. It was kind of. So I got DQ'd. Second day, I won racing. Then two wheel, I pop up on a bicycle, and it's like kind of in a sketchy little spot, but it was basically my idea was if I pop up there and I get it, I got the most room possible to go as far as I can. Well, I popped it up too far, had to basically do like a 180 save and landed on the barrier dumpster, which then DQ'd me, took me out. So I basically got 0 points for both skill challenges, which sucked. Yep. And then for freestyle, I didn't do bad freestyle. Like I did good runs, but they weren't like, I didn't have anything crazy happen. And they were like, I think I got third place both nights. So I can't say it was bad. It just didn't go like great. And then Bari was doing his normal Bari thing. Like he did great. He did good in racing, like solid racing, solid two wheel. And in freestyle, he was basically like,
he's in the right spot.
He had the right spot. That was the most important part. And he knows that. So again, like Adam said, he knows that he's done it again. Now you're able to, when you win, you're able to pick all the way back to ninth place. Well, the best thing to do is be the first guy out to do a backflip. And it's, unless you just don't have a good run, like a really bad run, it's almost a guaranteed win. So he can go out there and be the first person to flip and do a decent run and get a 9.5. And then me and Adam and Colt have to go out there and run into our eyeballs fall out of our skulls and do a backflip and crash, and we get a 9.3. Yeah. So he knows the game for sure. But this weekend, even though he did pick ninth, because Adam had a locked up planetary and he was, after the second day of just trying to murder Gravedigger and himself, it didn't go as well. he didn't get a complete run in. So Adam is like the first truck to go. He's got a pretty decent.
I'm going to rip it.
Yeah, like he's got like Jim Kohler, obviously. Like, you can't count him out. Chris, I think Chris is up there. There's a couple people.
Chris was rowdy last week.
Yeah, can't count him out. But at the same time, like, the chances are they're going to get crazy. They're going to crash. They're going to do something. So if Adam can hold it together, he's got a chance to be the first guy to get rowdy. And if that's the case, then, you know, sorry about your luck, anybody after that, because the scores are going to be skewed majorly to Adam.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it. And then Adam doing that front roll, man, that was insane. Awesome. I just can't believe, man, after burning the truck in half and then your little front roll action, buddy, I don't know. I think there's a whole nother, man, don't let me sound cliche. It's going to sound so cheesy. A whole nother gear. It's found to start the year off.
This is not shifting like up to, you know, sixth gear, putting in the high side. This is dropping her back. Her back a gear, and we're grabbing one and sending it home. And honestly, I told him, I'm like, I'm kind of, the past couple of years is going to be the last, this is the last season for my chassis, my truck that I've had for way too long, honestly, already. And no mercy.
It's not always about finding a higher gear. Sometimes it's about finding the right gear.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah, I'm not sure if I'm making the best decision or not, but
no,
it's already, that's what I thought. It was, oh my gosh, this is the first weekend. Oh no.
Just like your chassis is getting retired after this year, you got to be careful, man. You're going to retire your chassis, you know?
I know.
Yeah, holy. send you out to the farm, you know.
Nah, I'll get an in frame done. I'll be all right. Yeah. I'll be all right.
He's gonna 3D print a new leg or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. How do you guys, if you guys were to, in like 30 seconds or less each, what would be the best, like how would y'all want your season to be described this year? 30
well, you
seconds.
Got Colt. Yeah. Colt hasn't gave a rundown of his first weekend.
Oh, yeah, Colt. Well, that's what we'll do it with that. Yeah. Colt, you start.
You only get 30 seconds, Colt.
Yeah, because yeah, Colt had a gnarly crash, too.
This time, coming out, but I had a crazy backstory. I actually lost my R3 going into this event. So it's like my head restraint. So it's a little bit different. So when we don't make R3s anymore. So I had a big debacle figuring out what we're going to do. Had to switch over kind of to what everybody else does as a Hans. Hindsight, I'm super glad that we did it. I really like the Hans a lot more. It really locks my head in. But going into that first show, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit nervous. Thinking about, man, I hope I don't kiss my knees out here.
You should be. Yeah. I would be nervous switching over. Dude, you've been driving for how many years now?
Well, 10 years now with Monster Jam. I guess 8 years driving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a big change. So we had to change the seat. We had to change the locks on my helmet. You know, we had to change almost everything as far as going into the truck. But it wasn't a big deal because we had practice. And we had a full practice first day. But unfortunately,
it's a big deal, dude. I thought it was a big deal. I'm scared to tell people to change that kind of stuff.
It was definitely a change. But then we go into practice, and I was like, well, we'll have plenty of opportunity to jump the truck. Unfortunately, when we go into practice, I make one jump, and the tire falls off.
Yeah.
So didn't even get a chance to really practice any going into the first event. So I was a little nervous. And then it rained, so... You know, I was like, let's just get through it. We had a decent go. Wasn't awesome. But then ended up losing a third member in freestyle. It would lock up, but it just was in and out. So the spring in there was really weak. So I was fighting that. Just had a lot of ups and downs, to be honest with you. And I wasn't happy with everything. Freestyles were good. Same as usual. I can have some decent freestyles. Had a good save in there. Unfortunately, couldn't flip in any of them because of the breakage. So we kind of just salvaged what we could. But it's a new weekend here. The truck seems dialed in now. I think we got the third fixed again. So I'm hoping for this week kind of to start clawing my way back up. But I'll tell you what, last weekend for a first event out, absolutely barn burner.
Yeah.
I mean, for the saves, I mean, I had an awesome save. Bari had a save.
There were so many. That was
great. One, yeah. Two maybe?
Dude, it was just absolutely one of the best events that I've seen. I was a fan, man. I mean, I was really Corey, to go out and freestyle.
I thought Corey was wild.
Yeah, Corey.
That crash and save he had was awesome.
I mean, if that's the way the events are going to start out, man, we better buckle up because it's about to be wild.
I think y'all raised the bar last weekend, honestly, to your point. I mean, all of a sudden, I was like, dang on, let's go. We got to do something cool this weekend here in San Antonio on our side. So that's awesome. All right,
yeah,
Ryan,
how about you guys?
30 seconds or less, Ryan. How would you hope your season gets? If you could have the perfect description for your season, what would it be?
Well, one thing I felt like I've got myself into a rut of like keep playing it safe, essentially. Like I push the truck to almost its limits and I hold it there. Well, I got to get over that. I got to quit worrying about it. My crew chief's not new no more. He can handle it. He's ready for it. So that's the biggest thing I got to say is ready to turn this sucker loose. I got to force myself to turn this sucker loose. Start crashing again, start pushing the truck beyond its limits, start pushing myself beyond my limits, and hope for the best, basically, because I haven't been doing that in the past few years. You know, COVID kind of put a stop to that just because everything was chaos, man, like getting bodies and all that stuff, parts, everything. So since then, I've kind of played it halfway safe, and I got to get out of that. That sucks.
All right, Tyler, your best version, how would you hope your season got described by people?
Man, I don't know. I kind of like what Ryan said because I feel like I don't push myself enough either. Like, I don't think I've ever had, like, a really good crash. Mm. You know, that's – I hate to say that I want to crash because, like, Matt would probably hate that, you know, my crew guy. But I do. I want to have a good crash. And then one thing I didn't love about my season last year was the lack of big air that I got. I want to be able to jump bigger than I did last year. Right? You always want to outdo yourself from year to year. So, I mean – it's been a while since I've had a really, really big, you know, big air jump. So
big air jump to a big air crash.
I wouldn't be mad about it.
I like it. Well, you'll get that on this track that we're running on. That's gonna be good. But I think it's funny that you're saying that. You and Ryan are like the cheat codes to the real life game of Monster Jam, and you guys don't feel like you ran hard enough. So I don't know what that says about me, but I'm gonna have to go from a 5 to a 10, I think, just to try to keep up. But and that's good, man. I honestly, I think I'd describe mine. I want this. I would love it if this year, like the way that I see the best version of my season going, it's really not results because I cannot control it. You know, I can't control the results, but I can control how hard I run. And if I'm proud of the runs, if I was intense and wild and crazy and out of control and all that fun stuff. And I could genuinely just walk away from each event going, man, I had a blast. Regardless if it went my way or not, or if I got a bad roll or not. I think it was Jim Kohler at Superstar. And he goes, man, he said, there's a lot of bad days in Monster Jam and some good ones. And like, you got to slow down long enough for the good ones to appreciate the good ones. And because it doesn't happen every time. And I think all of us, man, we just want, our expectations that every weekend, every event is a great event. And we just can't control all that stuff. So I really think the secret to seeing, like, whether it's ourselves, like who we want to be as a driver, how we want to be described today versus how we want to be described a year from now, all that stuff, you know, it's in our control to a degree, and not because it's trying to change how people think of us or see us. But I really think that that best version drives our actions more than anything else out there. So, but it's nice that kicking off a season like we're doing, like we have the most hope, we got the highest belief, we got the clearest picture on what we want to do and who we want to become and the drivers we want to be in. So I'm excited to see all that come out.
Yeah, I think the one of the cool things too, and I think, I don't know about how you guys feel, but which I guess Ryan probably doesn't feel as much this way because a lot of the people on that West Coast tour are about the same as they were last year. But like for me coming to this tour, I only have John Gordon and Ryan Disharan from last year.
Oh,
so being with a different group. Yeah, you see the videos of how everybody does every weekend and what they do, but being here with a whole separate group, different people, I can't say I'm nervous, but it's got me feeling less comfortable than I usually am, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a weird feeling about it.
All right, Adam, I know we're not together. I know we're apart for the first time in 8 years, but I am pumped because I know that you guys are having fun, and we're going to have a blast on our tour as well. But I know this is all about kind of seeing the best version, not only of ourselves, but like we see the best versions of the season. I think we see the best versions of each other too, like the people that we're on tour with. And that's kind of what I'm hoping people get from this episode. It's like, man, sometimes it takes looking in the mirror and realizing, you know, man, you gotta see the better version of yourself to become that better version. But is there something that you think has been the difference maker for you as far as just believing that the best version, believing not only just your season and you as a driver, stuff like that, but like what's Adam Anderson's secret,
you know,
to kind of seeing
the
best version of yourself heading
like
into
saying,
a brand,
you know,
new season
it's
like
not
this.
Us together, and even the tour overall, you know, it was kind of some changes here and there, seldomly the past few years, but it was always the same, you know, the same competitors, the same crew, the same, you know, tech, the same, it was everything, and you kind of get in your comfort zone. And now here, you know, getting in for myself, you know, I'm out of my comfort zone of having the same people I'm dealing with week to week and month to month. And but it like kind of like you're saying, sometimes can bring out the better in somebody, can maybe in the beginning of this, you know, when there's all these new people for myself, I've been around for a long time, it's difficult. I think to myself, I'm not gonna, you know, hang with these people, I'm not gonna be around this, and I'm wrong, and I'm you know, and that's a good thing though. So we're out here, you know, for myself, I'm on a completely different tour, and I know there's a lot of new people and new seats on your side of things too, to kind of deal with. And but at the same time, I think I've made myself take myself mentally to the next level to accept that and to create new relationships, to create, you know, the best possible event we can together and work together with people that I didn't think I would ever work with. And it changes year to year now for us. And it's not easy. It's not an easy thing. You get comfortable, but I'm out of my comfort zone, but I can already tell that there's people that I, you know, underestimated. There's people that I, you know, shunned maybe, but I'm changing my ways. I shunned.
You shunned. I don't believe that for a second. Maybe you did mentally, but you never act like it. That's like a superpower. When I shun somebody, I'm like scorched earth with that person. It is a weakness of mine.
You do.
Then I slowly bring it back, though, baby. But anyway. All right, last piece of advice, because I gave a lot of advice in this kind of intro part of the podcast. If you were to give someone advice right now, like they're waking up, they're looking at themselves in the mirror, and at some point, they just got to decide, like, who do I want to be?
Yeah, it's almost kind of like I said. What kind of advice you give them? You're going to have to accept change, and it's not just with work. It's with life, man, taking it to the next level. And that'll bring out the best version in you, I think, if you just are set in your ways. And everybody gets stuck like that, but you can't. And if you can't do that, man, you got to, you know, you have to accept that change. You have to move on. You have to just keep going. And it's not easy. It can't always be easy. And you're not always going to accept what everybody else has to say or do. But, you know, it's that's part of life. And it doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing in life, what, you know, your career is, what school, what hard times you may be going through. It's just accept it and roll on. That's it, man. That's it.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, I think we'll have to do this again. We're going to have to do more weekly tune-ups, obviously, but I kind of enjoyed calling into you guys, so you'll have to keep your phones by you. But I hope this weekend goes well. I hope you guys have a blast. I know you got to be having fun running around with Ryan a little bit, too, and just brother against brother and
not
all the fun
not
stuff.
Happening.
So I hope it goes well. I hope
good luck to you guys
butts again in San Diego.
Good luck for the first send-off for the season. I expect some highlights, and if you don't, then, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Send me hate mail. I like it. All right, cool. All right, good. All right.
Sounds good, buddy.
Challenge accepted. All right, man. You guys take care, all right? And we'll talk to you soon. Well, there you guys have it. I know this is going to help someone out there. And if it helps one person, it's all worthwhile. And my question to you is, what gear are you going to find next? Like, how are you going to make your shift into your full potential? And the way you start with that is with that barn find mentality. You've got to see yourself not with the dust covered on top of the paint job that's 40 years old, flat tires, and a motor that's not running 15 years. You've got to see yourself as the best version. And when you do that, what's going to happen is it's going to allow your best self vision, like how you see yourself, that version of yourself at your best, to guide your next bold steps. And that's my goal for you. That's my hope for you. It's my hope for myself. I want my best version to make me so confident that my next decision I make in life is as bold as possible. Because that is where results come from. Results come from boldness. That's it. And if you're bold enough to step out, if you're bold enough to actually ask those questions of who am I today and who do I want to be a year from now, and if you want that bonus question of how do I want people to be able to describe me at my funeral, if you're bold enough to go down that path as well, I promise you won't regret it. Because what's going to happen is your head's going to hit the pillow at night. You're going to have more belief in yourself. You're going to have more belief that your best version is on its way and you can become that best version. But you're going to have the boldness to step out when everyone else shies away and everyone else is scared to go out there and do something bold and to take that next risk and to be more creative and to have more faith that it's all going to work out. Most people are not going to do that. And in 5 years, they're still going to be asking the question, why does life suck so bad? But not you. If you've got the boldness to step out there, change your perspective, shift your perspective. Don't be the scarecrow out in the middle of the field, like that story I told at the beginning. You are somebody who's special. You are unique. You've got strengths that no one else has, and we just have to help you find it. All right, so this first weekly tune-up, hope you guys got something out of it. Come back. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you go up and review us as well. That's a big thing. So that tells us that people are getting enough out of this that we want to keep it going. But appreciate you joining us on Gears and Nachos weekly tune-up, and we will see you guys next week.